Hey, welcome to another episode of Ask a Jew, where a secular, sinful Israeli speaks to her holy religious friend. I'm Yael, here with Chayaleah. We are the Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger of Judaism. Very, very deep cut. If you live on Twitter like us, you know what that means. If not, right. Just skip 4 minutes.
Can you imagine if Congress invited us to talk about anything?
You know what I want? I want to be invited to Congress to talk about anti-Semitism, but like a debate, like pro and anti. Anti-Semitism. And I could represent either side, doesn't it?
Yes, I know.
Did you see them? The two journalists who did the Twitter files?
I did see it.
And did you see when they asked them if they're a threesome with Barry Weiss?
I know. That was so weird. I mean, the whole thing was so weird. And also, doesn't Matt Taibbi look weird? I don't know. Yeah. He looked off.
Is he sick? I don't know. Now you're going to make me feel bad
because I'm
about to say something not nice, and then he's going to be sick. And he has a, I don't know.
Schellenberger was looking.
If Michael Schellenberger wants to be in a thruple with me, I'd Matt Taibbi can tag along.
A what? Never heard of such a thing.
A thruple. It is not.
Who's the third person?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, just anyone.
You
know,
it's just me and Michael and
someone.
Me and Schellenberger and
It's like Hitler.
You join too. Hitler.
No, I mean,
it could be Hitler. Do we have to? Can it just be us off to the side? But also Hitler's dead. Chayaleah. It can't be Hitler.
I mean, supposedly.
Supposedly.
Who knows?
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
There's no proof. I have already a Hitler story for you.
Oh my God. Why did I mention him so early in this podcast?
Early. I think we broke a record here.
Do we have anything to talk about this week other than
Hitler?
Hitler.
I mean, we can people have done 6-hour documentaries about Hitler. I think
that's a good point.
No, but I have a funny story. So I was, I just came back from Mexico.
Yeah, welcome back.
Thank you. And I was with my father and my niece, because who else would you go to Mexico with than your 21-year-old niece and your 75-year-old father? But it was wonderful. We had a really, really good time. But those two idiots got matching tattoos.
Oh, my God.
Which is actually really cute. My niece has a bunch of tattoos. My father has.
That is really funny.
And that was his first one. But they got matching tattoos. But the people that all do the tattoos in Mexico are from Argentina. Like, all the tattoo parlors are owned by Argentinians. And we walked in there and they all have blue eyes. And I was telling my dad and I start joking about, like,
where did you learn this skill?
And my dad is like, you know, and because we're talking about the prices too, the prices were expensive. And my dad is like, you know, last time I got a tattoo from a Nazi, didn't really work out well for us. And I was like, yeah, but you know, at least it was free.
We are sick.
So they paid a grandkid of a Nazi to tattoo them.
Oh my God.
But it turned out.
Why didn't you get one also?
Honestly, I was considering it. I was about to join them, but I didn't really like, I didn't dislike it, but I didn't love the pattern they picked out. And I was like,
what did they get?
I can't get a tattoo just to have like a good tweet.
No,
because if I tweeted that, it would be
that's
great.
That's commitment.
A lot of retweets, but they got like, sunset, because my dad is like obsessed with sunsets.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty cute. A grandfather and a granddaughter getting matching tattoos.
Very cute.
I mean, it's not like halachically allowed, but it's very cute. It
cancels each other out, you know?
Oh, the cuteness factor.
Yeah, the cuteness, but also the fact that they each got one.
Oh, I see.
I'm sure in the Talmud somebody could make a good case of, like,
I'm sure.
And family traditions and things like
I'm
that.
I'm sure. And two sins make a mitzvah. Is that what you're saying?
I believe so.
Yeah.
That's why I do all my sins in,
in pairs.
In pairs.
Hilarious.
But
anyway,
it was very fun.
So at least you didn't get, I mean, nothing happened in Mexico, right? Like there was no.
I didn't get food poisoning.
You didn't get, that's good.
Shocking.
There water.
Was one day was, I
How was about the water? Did you drink the water?
I didn't drink the water.
Smart.
I was very much like a first world white Karen. I didn't eat like a single vegetable, I think, the whole time I was there.
Oh my God.
I don't speak any Spanish. My niece does. So she was kind of translating for us. But I felt very much like I'm not a super adventurous traveler. And you know, there are parts of Mexico that are not the parts we went to. Of course, we went to like the rich touristy parts, but parts of Mexico that are, you know, if you go get a tummy tuck, you get kidnapped by the cartel and killed.
I mean, that story
happened a few days ago.
Weird story. I was in Mexico 2 weeks ago. We just I was on the
Cabo,
other side,
right?
On the I was side. In Cabo. Yeah,
yeah. I thought about that actually because it was such a quick trip for you.
I know. I went in and out, but then. When you were in Mexico, I was in New York, which was right. So dumb, and we missed each other. And
yeah,
whatever.
But you saw some of our friends here, right?
Yes, yes, I did. We had a great time. I was there for a 3-day seminar at the think tank that I'm doing a fellowship at right now, which was really intense, but also really it was really good. Like I came back feeling really good about it and
about
had
Judaism.
Time.
You think we have a shot?
Well, it was really all about Israel and what's going on and the shit show that's going on right now.
Yeah, we need to have more people come and talk about it because it really is quite the shit show. I don't want to bore our listeners with politics when we can talk about more about me
about
my time
other
in Mexico.
Shit. Yeah.
So
exactly.
We took a lot of boats, a lot of ferries. There were a lot of jokes about being illegal immigrants, being standing in lines for hours waiting for ferries. I did buy. Oh, get this, Hila. I think I was profiled at the airport.
How?
On my way back to Israel, to New York, because I was stopping to buy tequila, mezcal actually. But I was at. They have a really nice airport in Cancun, by the way. A nice duty free. So the guy is like trying to explain to me different things and like give me suggestions. And he pulls out a bottle and he's like, this is this, and it's organic and it's this, and it's also kosher. And I was like, excuse me, are you saying that I look Jewish?
Oh my God. Maybe he knows that we're friends and he thought you were buying me a gift.
But you know what? Now that I think about it, he said, probably because I was looking for a good price and I was looking for, because I did ask him, I was like, do you have one? Because I wanted to buy a few bottles. I'm like, do you have one that's like 2 for the price of 1?
Oh my God. So you're so embarrassing.
I can't really blame him.
You can't just pay the price. I mean, please.
No, no. You have
I
to.
I am not Jewish in this way. I cannot handle. I crawl out of my skin when people try to negotiate prices. I can't handle it.
God.
I can't.
I can't not do it.
No, I'm the worst. I'm like, right. Oh, you want $10 for this? How about I give you $20? Because I feel bad that I have this money and you don't. Like,
not.
I can't handle it.
But I will pay for things that I don't want because the salesperson was like wasted 40 seconds on me. And I
oh
feel
my
bad
God. Totally.
For wasting their time. So I'll buy this $200 sports bra that I don't need. Because you were so nice to me and explained the different fabrics.
Oh my God, totally.
But then on the way back through immigration in New York, and the guy was like, are you bringing anything into the country? And I'm like, I got some duty-free items. And he's like, what do you have? And I said, I have 3 bottles of tequila. And he looks at me and he's like, is that going to be enough for you?
That's cute.
Yeah, it's cute. But
that's
I have
funny.
One, I dropped one off here at Paloma Studios for Paloma / Fifth Column friends.
That's nice.
Because, you know, they need more booze.
Which we'll drink next time we're there. It's fine.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But I had a very lovely time.
Did you go to Chabad?
Get this. You'd be so proud of me. Of course, when we went to Tulum, we realized that that we were driving to the hotel. And like literally before we parked, we saw a Chabad flag. So
amazing.
The Chabad was 2 like Mexican blocks from our hotel.
Amazing.
So we drove in there and spoke to the rabbi. Of course, my father told him about the podcast. And it was funny because he recommended this museum that's kind of like in the middle of the jungle. It's this architectural, it's something you wouldn't think of going to. And he was like, you have to go there. It's so beautiful. And we did, and it was great. So we can say that, you know,
that's cute.
The Chabad rabbi gave us some good recommendations.
Isn't it incredible that like a Chabad family, is he Israeli? He's probably Israeli, right?
Yeah.
They leave like Israel, which is mm-hmm. just built for people like him, and moved yeah. to Tulum, Mexico.
Yeah.
And it's so incredible. And they just, I really have a lot of respect for those families.
They should do like a Book of Mormon, like musical about Chabad, like the way they go on their missions. Right?
I know. It is pretty interesting. But like in a way, going to Tulum, Mexico is easier. I mean, I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, but that's an easier job than moving to like, what's that city? Or like Des Moines, Iowa. Like, yeah. do you know what I mean? Living in Des Moines, Iowa sounds boring as shit.
I thought you and meant like, just like, yeah. Because to a place like Tulum, I think it's cool to go somewhere where there's no community, so they're not going to bother you, but only travelers.
Yeah, that's also good. But like and also like sometimes you live in places where like there's tons of help. So like the Chabad rabbis and Rebbetzins in like India, or like I have a cousin who's in Morocco, the Chabad in Morocco. Like they, you know, labor is pretty cheap. You can get a lot of help. I'm not saying they don't work really hard. They do. They're incredible mm-hmm. people and they work really hard, but they have a lot of help. If you live in like Newport Beach, California, like it's hard.
Yeah, nannies are expensive.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard. No, like, I'm serious. It's yeah. there's, but I mean, obviously, living in Newport Beach, California is a lot nicer and easier than living in Mumbai, India, or, you know,
Mumbai would be cool, or somewhere there's a lot of travelers. Like, my aforementioned niece who was traveling through South America went to a lot of Chabad houses.
Yeah.
Secular.
It's nice. Right. It's nice that they provide that service to have dinners yeah. and Shabbats and holidays. And I mean, do you remember the terrible attack in Mumbai in the Chabad house there?
Oh,
it was
yeah.
terrible. Rifki and Gabi Holzberg were murdered along with, I think, four other
I forgot that was
Jewish
a Chabad
people.
House.
Yeah.
What year was that? 2000?
I think it was 2008, maybe. And their son was hit, like they had a little baby, a 2-year-old. And the nanny hid with the baby in a closet until Jeez. It was over. And he survived. His name is Moishi. He lives in Israel. I mean, that was just such an awful story. And like, I think they were like tortured. I mean, it was awful, awful, awful.
Speaking of terrorist attacks.
I know.
There was one yesterday in yeah. a restaurant in Tel Aviv that I've been to many times. A seafood restaurant, ironically. But across the street from that restaurant is a bar where I sat in November with the people, our friends that came to Israel with us.
Right.
And it's just wild, like how, like we're, I hate to say we're used to it, but also it's always wilder when it's somewhere you've like, oh, my, I yeah. feel like I was just there.
Right. I know. I yeah. know.
But there's a great video floating around of a female police officer shooting the terrorist like a few minutes later. And I wanted to share it on Twitter and be like, happy Women's History Day or whatever it is. But I don't want to get like banned for violence.
Isn't that like an insult? I remember they were trying, wasn't there, we may have talked about this before, but wasn't there a, I'm trying to remember the details. The people in Iraq, there was like a, the Kurds had like a women's unit because it was so offensive and like degrading for an ISIS member or like an Al Qaeda member to be killed by a woman. Like, I guess you don't get all the things in heaven, like the 72 virgins or whatever, yeah. if you're killed by a woman, because it's like disgraceful. And so they had these like all female squadrons out, like, you know, trying to kill ISIS members. And I'm like, yes,
that's pretty
exactly.
badass.
Exactly. Good.
That's, yeah. Yeah. I didn't even think about that, how humiliating that would be. To
yeah.
be killed by a woman police officer or a Muslim police officer, I think, too, if you're a Muslim
right, if
terrorist.
If you're a terrorist, yeah. Yeah.
Not. But
that's so true.
What about, so it was Women's History, not History Day, what's it called? International Women's Day.
Yeah.
How did you celebrate? I know you're very, as an Orthodox woman, I know you don't have any rights. And you need me to come liberate you.
My husband
you.
Let me out of the cage for a few hours, which
That's
was really nice.
Nice.
I That's know, I was able to go outside.
Yeah, for just for International Women's Day.
Yeah, I met some friends face to face. It was really,
wow.
it was
Did you have to,
strange.
Did you take off your veil?
Yeah, I was allowed to be, you know, seen. Mm-hmm. It was, yeah, I don't know. I mean, is this even a day? Like, when did, I never even heard of it before this year.
It's a, you know how I know it's a day? Because I work in social media and it's a day when you post things about, look, we have women who work here. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like a very, you know how I feel about national days of celebrating 50% of the population, I guess. It's just not my
listen, thing. It's the type of thing that if you care about it, and many people do, I'm sure, good for them. Let them mm-hmm. celebrate it. I just, that's not something I really care about. March is Women's History Month in general.
Oh, right.
So
you should write a post for our Substack about badass Jewish women in history.
Well, we just had the Book of Esther, Purim, and Queen Esther saves the day and saves the Jewish people. And
remember last year when I told you the story of Purim?
Oh my God, yes.
And I got it confused with the plot of Aladdin. Because there are a lot of similarities. There's a princess in a castle, and it's a Middle Eastern country.
So similar.
A lot. There's a genie. There's a talking monkey in both stories. Yeah.
Can I just say how much, I just have to say this. I love the internet so much. I know it's sometimes we hate it, but I am reading this really incredible book. I'm not going to get into all the details, but I had a question about Purim historically, mm-hmm. and how it fits into historical context with the temple and whatever. And I was like, who can I ask this question of? Because I was raised, obviously very religious. We learned the story of Purim in a very specific milieu. And I was like, I want to understand the historical context of this in a different way. And I was like, oh, well, this author is an expert in early Judaism. So she might know. So I DM'd her on Twitter. Next thing I know, we're chatting back and forth, exchange phone numbers. Now we're on WhatsApp together, sending voice notes. If you want to learn and know, you can, there's so much access out there.
Yeah. And it also helps to have a podcast.
The internet.
It also helps to have a podcast because you can interview just people that you really like and think are interesting. So, you can be because otherwise I wouldn't be able to call, we'd love to get Jonathan Haidt on the show, but I can't call him and be like, hey, John Haidt, my name is Yael. Can we talk for an hour?
I know.
And now I can be like, I have a podcast. But he won't answer either way, but now at least it sounds normal.
That's me with the guys from the Wisdom of Crowds. I'm like, Shadi, please notice me. Demir. Actually, Demir is really nice. And I asked him about.
We should have him on.
I know. I did ask him once and he agreed to, and we just never followed up. And it was when the Ukraine war started, and we just never, we're such morons that we never followed up with it.
When you say we, do you mean you?
No, I mean both of us. Okay. You knew about it, I think. Anyway, moving on from this awkward moment, I asked Demir for a recommendation for books about the Balkans, since mm-hmm. that is a part of the world that I know nothing about. And when I think about the wars in the 90s, I don't even know exactly who the Serbs or the Croats mm-hmm. who are these people? The Bosnians, there's a country, Montenegro. Do you know
all these countries. Yeah, from the Eurovision. I know all of them from Eurovision Song Contest. That's all my knowledge of Eastern Europe.
Yes. But,
and also Balki. I think of Balki from Perfect Strangers.
Right.
But I think he was from I forget the name of the fictional place he was from, but it was kind of a Greek island, I think.
That's so funny. Yeah. So he sent some really, really good recommendations. And I'm actually watching a documentary right now that he suggested. It's 4 hours. It's from the BBC. I watch it while I'm on the treadmill. Really explains what happened to Yugoslavia and the war. And anyway, I'm really enjoying it.
Wow. And now, now they all have mediocre Eurovision Song Contest entries.
I know.
And some of them have decent basketball teams.
I would like to go there, though. Croatia looks really nice.
Oh, Croatia is supposed to be gorgeous.
I'd like to go there.
And Croatian men are pretty attractive, I have to say. Like, on average, yeah.
We'll have to go check it out. Field trip. Like a field trip for us.
Ask a Jew field trip. There's probably a Chabad there where we can sleep, right?
My friends went there for Passover last year, actually, to a hotel. And
But speaking of the internet being amazing, I remember once I had a problem with my radiator or something in my apartment. And I needed a something for it.
Right.
And I couldn't, I looked at it, it doesn't say anything on it. How do I know what brand it is, what I need to buy? And I posted on Reddit. And I was like, I found a forum on Reddit for this. And I posted, can anybody identify this brand? And I need to buy a fan for it or something. And people told me, yeah, this looks like a GS 93. Here's where you can get this part. So
I'm laughing because yesterday I'm the executive director. I just have to say that I'm the executive director of the organization that I work for, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm the boss.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I called an electrician to the building that I work in, that we own, that I run and manage, because the lights were not working in a section of the house, okay? So I'm like, I need an electrician to come and figure it out. So he comes there. Thankfully, it's my friend, because I would have been so embarrassed. I mean, I was embarrassed, but I would have even been more embarrassed. And he's like looking around and he's like, have you changed the light bulbs? I'm like, what? That can't be it, because they're all not working. And he's like, let me see what I can do. And literally, it was just the light bulbs were all out.
I like that he said, let me see what I can do. And then he charged you like $400.
I don't know. He didn't charge me yet. But it was pretty embarrassing. And I was like, wow, I apologize for making
you know what?
Me
you did
here.
The right thing, because you don't want to touch. You don't want to mess with electricity.
It's true.
Especially as a woman.
Right. And the ceiling was really high, to be fair. It's not like I could just easily change the light bulb.
Yeah, I broke off... like I was pulling a lamp out of the socket, and it broke in the socket.
Oh.
And of course I went to take it out and got electrocuted like an idiot. But then I was like, of course I'm, you know, 40 years old. What do? I call my father in Israel, and I was like, what do? I send him a photo. And he's like, you just call somebody to do it. I know. Nobody trusts you.
That's such a good point. My son was saying today, like he's in France for the year and he needs visa. There's a whole issue and he needs to like have an appointment, whatever, a whole story. So he's like, God, I was just thinking like, thank God dad takes care of all that stuff. He's like, how am I ever going to learn how to like do that stuff? I'm like, you'll be like me, marry someone who's really good at taking care of all that stuff. Because I don't do it either. And I'm, you know, 42
that's
years
when,
old.
That's the only times when I really like regret being single was when I have to deal with things. Like the realtor and the plumber. I have no business talking to these people. No business.
I know.
You know, I know. The taxes. Like, I'm just, I get by. I do a lot of it, but I don't enjoy it. And I am not good at it. And I just, there needs to be an adult here to take care of us.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Barth is definitely that in our house.
Somebody should do a rent, like a rent a husband thing for those purposes. Like somebody to just take care.
To be fair, though, I just have to say that I you know how I feel about my husband, but it does help that he is extremely detail oriented. Okay. Mm. It's not just that he's good at that stuff. It's like, it's part of his personality. Like, I'm just not detail oriented. Yeah, so a lot of this stuff is just beyond me, because it's, I don't care.
And he
has
a British accent, so he sounds smarter when he talks to these people. You just sound, you just can't not sound smart if you have a British accent. But I need to marry somebody who's detail oriented.
Yes, that is very good.
That would be good for me. Not good for that person.
Right. I'm more of the big picture. Like, I think in big picture.
I'm like the creative, like, I will be the soul and the spirit of the marriage. And you can do our taxes.
We're just like really leaning into the stereotypes of men and women right now.
Oh, I thought you meant of Jews.
Jews.
No, I'm fine with that.
Somebody was complaining about laundry, and I'm like, laundry? I don't do laundry. They were like, what? How do you not do laundry? I'm like, I pay someone to do laundry for me. She's a housekeeper. Yeah. And then I was like, I cannot believe I'm saying these words. I sound like the biggest asshole on the planet. I was like, so then I start getting defensive. I'm like, well, you know, I work full time, and I only have her twice a week. And they were like, why are you being defensive? And I was like, I don't know. I'm just uncomfortable right now.
I would own that. I would like hold it against that person and be like, oh, you do your own laundry? What a loser.
I know. I've said this before, but having a clean lady has been one of the secrets to a happy marriage for us.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. Yeah,
definitely.
It has been, my lady only comes every few weeks or whenever I need her. But when she does come, it's life changing.
Yeah.
It's really, it's pretty tremendous. I mean, these people are doing God's work.
They really are. And also, like, I'm sometimes jealous when I watch, like, old British shows or, like, you know, Downton Abbey, like, the way they wake up in the morning and, like, the women
you
are dressing them. I want, like, a handmaid or whatever
they
call them.
Yeah, but then you have to, like, talk to her.
Not really. They were, like, bitchy to them.
Yeah.
Okay. I want someone to, like, put out my clothes.
And you'll
like,
be
fill
worried
my
that
bath.
She'll try to, like, hit on your husband.
I don't
fill
care.
My bath. That is the height of luxury. I know. Somebody to fill. Like, I don't want to sit there like an idiot and wait for it to be filled up like a peasant. I would like somebody to brush my hair. They're always brushing their hair. Oh my God. Hair, right?
I know. And doing their hair. Can you imagine if I had someone to do my wig every day? It would be such a pleasure.
That would be really nice. We need to. So, you guys, you know, you can sign up for our Substack, askajew.substack.com. It's free, but you do have an option to pay there. So, if you do want to support our crowd,
our dreams,
we'll crowdfund getting a maid. We can share her too. You can have her like 1 month in LA and 1 month in New York.
No, I need it all the time, every day.
Fair enough.
I did not discuss last Friday with you. I had a story that is, I've just been like, you know when a story is just on your mind all day, every day?
Is there a trigger warning for the story?
Maybe. So, and this is going to piss some people off, and I apologize, but I'm just going to tell the story anyway.
Usually that's the best stories you have. I know. You say that.
So last Friday, I was invited to an interfaith breakfast for an organization here in Long Beach that does like, you know, interfaith and racism work and, you know, kind of community building, and they're very into like racial equity now. So that's like their thing. But, you know, as a Jewish community leader, as I'm putting my leader in quotes, but, you know, I was invited to attend. And so there, you know, there were about four, I don't know, maybe 400 people there. And it's early last Friday morning. Now, the first thing I'm going to tell you is that this is an interfaith breakfast. And they served bacon and eggs. I mean,
and these are Jews and Muslims, I presume, right?
Jews, Muslims, and Christians. And they serve, and it's not at a buffet where it's like, oh, I'm not going to take that bacon. It's plated and served to every person in that room. And so I'm at a table.
That's kind of funny, though.
Who made that decision?
That's so dumb.
Who made that decision?
And I love that we can join with the Muslims on this one, because we're like, I know. We're not the obnoxious ones complaining. We're all like 2/3 of us have a problem here.
Well, 99% of the Jews probably would have eaten the pork. Okay. But here's the problem. Like, I was there, right? So I'm sitting at a table. My whole table is Jewish. And I can imagine that they're all so uncomfortable. I see that they're just like shifting in their chairs. And I'm like, is this for real? Like bacon and eggs right now? So of course I decline to have the plate. But one of my friends who was sitting at the table, he takes it and he says to the server, he's like, this must be turkey bacon, right? Like, there's no way that they're serving pork at this interfaith breakfast. So she's like, let me go find out. She comes back. She's like, actually, it's pork. So one of the women at our table, she's like, listen, I would usually eat, like, I don't have a problem eating bacon, but I think the principle is wrong. So she takes a small plate that was in the middle of the table, puts her bacon on it, and starts passing the plate around. And now everyone at my table is putting their pieces of bacon on this plate.
It's a bacon protest.
Okay. And so now I'm at a table and there's this plate in the middle with a huge mountain of bacon just sitting there. And I'm like, what is happening right now? Okay. This is ridiculous.
It's so symbolic. This is like your pussy hats. Like, this is the symbol of your
oh my God.
Uprising.
I felt bad for the Jews at my table who were hungry, because I was like, if I wasn't sitting here, they probably would have eaten it. And like, it's so annoying being, you know, that annoying friend that's just like a goody-goody. That I felt like that. Yeah. And I was like apologizing.
Come on, guys. That's not cool. Come on.
I was like trying to apologize and be like, don't not eat it because of me. Like, everyone should feel free to do whatever they want. But I mean, it's uncomfortable, you know?
But anyway. Then you also have to sit there and eat your breakfast with a pile of bacon staring at you. Somebody put googly eyes on it.
it was so funny. But anyway, I did not stay. I mean, I'll tell you why I didn't stay. I didn't leave because of the bacon. The speakers that they had are these women who have this organization called Race to Dinner. Do you know about this? Race to Dinner?
I heard about it in the John Ronson
show. They were the guest speakers at this event, okay?
Really? You know how expensive they are?
I'm imagining they are very expensive. And they get up and they start talking, and I couldn't sit there. I'm like, I'm not going to participate in this. And so everyone at my table who was like clapping and laughing and like whatever, nodding, not everybody, but you know, I just said to the people like right next to me, I'm like, I'm not going to be sit. I'm not going to sit here and be lectured at by these people.
Well, explain the concept for people who don't know.
So these are two women who one of them is African American and one of them is another minority. I'm not sure what, but she's not white. And they go and they I guess you get your friends together. They have dinner parties for 12 mm-hmm. white women where they come and they basically explain to the white women how they are upholding white supremacy and racism and
they pay like racial inequality. $10,000 a piece right. or something for
and them. They get lectured by these women about how they're the reason for all the systemic problems.
Do you think they serve
problems.
Bacon at these dinners?
I wonder. So I was just not going to sit through that because I don't believe that you can say that about anybody. I think that individuals are racist. I think individuals also are the solution to ending racism and promoting equality. And I don't like this narrative of lumping everyone together. And just because somebody's a white woman means that they uphold racial discrimination. I'm not going to buy into that argument.
Well, isn't it kind of the opposite of interfaith too?
I know.
Like interfaith is about dialogue and right. accepting each other, understanding. And this is about pointing out and saying like,
right.
white women, here's why you're the problem.
Right. It's just unhelpful. Like, I just find it unhelpful. And I'm open to hearing someone like who wants to defend it. Feel free, reach out, call me. I'm happy to hear an argument for it. But I just know working on a college campus that the language we're using around building like bridges and all this stuff we're doing such a bad job. We're just creating more division, not building any bridges whatsoever. And I'm just not going to participate in that. So I left. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that
And then when you leave something like that, people say it's like white fragility or something, right?
Right, exactly. You can't win.
But you can see, here's where I'm jealous of you, because you can always fall back on anti-Semitism. You can always say like, well, I feel discriminated against because I am a Orthodox Jew.
Well,
like,
yeah,
if you wanted to,
right,
you're
if I
honestly,
wanted to.
You're not the person to do it. And if you were, we probably wouldn't be friends. But you could definitely see somebody on Facebook writing a whole Facebook post about how they were served bacon and how offensive it is and how their parents, their grandparents
were in the Holocaust.
When the Holocaust, and this is worse, and how it's like all connected to January 6th. And then all your Facebook friends would be like prayer heart emoji. I'm so sorry this is happening to you.
Right. It's
this
so
is outrageous.
Silly.
I'm That's never so having silly. Breakfast again. You could That's totally so do silly. That kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but
I'm never
like, why?
Do that.
You don't have to, you know.
Who needs that? That's such bullshit. But yeah, I mean, listen, the reality is, aside from all the whole story I just told you about the race to dinner and the bacon, one of the things that was happening after the breakfast was that there was going to be time for everybody to get into their affinity groups, right? And there mm-hmm. was supposed to be like time with your affinity group. And I said to the people at my table who were all, you know, Jewish, I said, which affinity group are you going to? Because there was mm-hmm. no Jewish affinity group on the list. They had it all listed out, you know? And I just, all these kinds of spaces are just... they're not for Jews.
No,
they're
just
not for Jews. And we, as a Jewish community, I know it's uncomfortable and I know it's hard because we want to be on the forefront of like being anti-racist and being, you know, about equality and equity and all that stuff. But we as a Jewish community have to take a stand and say, we are not going to participate in this kind of stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Like, we're just
Jews,
not.
Don't go to places where people don't respect you.
Exactly.
It's one thing serving bacon, you could say it's a mistake.
Yeah,
it's not
whatever.
Like
that's
that
funny.
Like,
right.
It's kind of more funny than anything else. But, you know, don't go to places where you have to, I say this as a secular, you know, shrimp right. eating person. And I'm like, believe in your faith and, you know, we're proudly.
No, but it's true.
But yeah, just, I mean, I think in general, good advice is probably not to go to places where you're not respected. You shouldn't be elevated. You shouldn't be treated differently. But you need to be, you know, just like respected and seen. And Jews are, they never find a place in these things because Jewish for a lot of people, we call them anti-Semites, is synonymous with power, right? So I feel like same with Asians for some people.
Yeah.
So you don't need a space.
I'm going to make an interfaith breakfast and I'm only going to serve water. So I don't offend anyone. Like
what about people with rabies? People with rabies, you know, they have a fear of water.
We shouldn't have any food. Like, yeah. We should just, and no drinks. What about people, it should be a fast.
People with eating disorders, though. Or people with low blood sugar.
You're right.
To have food.
We're just not going to have interface
pizza.
Stuff.
Pizza is the least offensive food.
No, but what if you're on a diet?
Been offended. Oh, true. Or what if you're like obese and you're like, are you calling me fat for bringing pizza for breakfast? You can't.
You just can't. We can't win this
just
world.
Just do it on Zoom. Just do it on Zoom because also people are.
What if people can't see or hear? It's not fair.
There's like a touch screen version of Zoom.
I think we shouldn't have gatherings anymore.
Everyone should just stay home and watch TV. I wanted, before I forget, because we do have a question from a listener.
Oh, we do.
Speaking of interfaith. And you know, Hylia, which type of listener is my favorite?
You like our Gentiles.
This is true. Yeah. I do. It's not that I like them more. I just value them more. And I have more respect for our non-Jewish listeners than I do for our Jewish listeners.
Wow. That's really nice.
Because, I don't know. It's like the constant like Jew that's trying to fit in with the goys, you know. But hold on, now I'm looking for
the
question.
I'm so curious.
So this is from Caleb. Hi, Caleb.
Oh, is that our friend Caleb?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh,
you have a friend, Caleb?
Yeah.
What letter does his last name start with?
D.
No.
Oh.
Okay, different Caleb. I don't want to call his last name, but he heard of us. Through the fifth column and saying nice things like he loves his podcast, blah, blah, blah. And then a lot of our emails start like this. This is more of a question for Hialeah.
Yes.
But he says, what are your biggest pet peeves with how Christians tend to talk about or use the Hebrew Bible? I'm a Jesus-loving, Bible-believing Christian. But I think that mainstream Christianity, Orthodox, Catholic, and Protestant, has generally lost the plot when it comes to understanding how Jesus fits into the story and message of the Hebrew Bible. Thanks for making me laugh and think, Caleb.
Wow.
What do you think?
I love that Caleb thinks that I know anything about how people use the Old Testament or the Torah.
You're knowledgeable in religion in general, not just Judaism, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I think in general, like, for me, the most uncomfortable thing about Christians, writ large in general, is the way they talk about God. Like, we just don't talk about God that way. Christians, like, are much more...
They talk about...
enthusiastic about...
When you say God, you mean Jesus, like, as a human form?
No, I just mean in general, like, the Lord. Like, did you ever hear Jews talk like that? Like, I don't know. We say Baruch Hashem, thank God, but like, we just don't talk about God in the way that Christians do. It's a really interesting difference.
Sometimes, like, people talk about our Father, like in Hebrew, they say Abba, Sheba Shamayim, like they talk about.
If you're in an academic setting where you're talking about something in particular, or maybe you're in synagogue, I mean, yes, I'm not saying we never discuss God, but I find Christians much more comfortable with God language and like the Lord and the Lord should bless you. And they're just, I don't know.
But he's not asking you what you don't like about Christians.
No, I know. I'm just making that statement. Okay. I was just saying.
Here's my problem with you people.
So he's asking what's my pet peeve about
or like
how Christians use the Torah.
I have zero insight.
You have zero insight.
No, I don't even know. There's an Old Testament and New Testament. I think one is ours and one of theirs is theirs. We're the OG. They're the sequel.
Christians call it the Old Testament. We call it the Torah or the Hebrew Bible.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Is this like a Judea and Samaria, West Bank kind of?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, got it.
Look. I don't have a good answer to this question. I will do so. I wish I would have read this question before and I could have done some research. And so I will for next podcast. But in general, it's annoying that an entire religion was born out of something that we hold precious and dear and that they basically, this is going to piss off all my Christian friends and I apologize.
Oh
but,
God.
You know, it just, it feels like they took something very precious from us and distorted the whole thing. And that's annoying, to be honest. I mean, he asked the question, so I'm answering. We believe as an Orthodox Jew, obviously I believe in rabbinic Judaism and that the Torah is divine and that the, you know, words of the rabbis are important and that what God says in the Torah is like everlasting. And the Christians just basically turned the whole thing upside down. And it's just like funny to me that they, I don't really understand, like, why don't they keep Shabbos? Like, why don't, I don't get it. Like, they care so much about the Bible, but like basic laws that God commanded are just not done. We're going to get hate mail for this rant. I mean, because people are going to say we do keep the Sabbath, which is true in a way they do. Many of them do. But I should stop talking right now.
Well, Caleb,
can you ask me an easier question? Ask me about the judiciary in Israel right now.
What do you think about the trans issue and hormone therapy for teenagers?
Can we talk about the Kardashians or something? I don't know.
Caleb, I for one am honored that your people took the Old Testament, and it's kind of a homage. You know, it's like the way somebody takes like a piece of art and is inspired by it to create their own art. So yeah. I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah, listen, I respect Christians very much, especially like honest ones who are like really religious and have like faith, and I respect it a lot and I appreciate it. And I know that like we've had a long history where Jews didn't often get treated well by the Christians, and you know, there was a lot of hatred between the two people, and I think it's different now.
If I meet, you know what's funny is like nowadays, I mean, nowadays, like in my lifetime, if I meet somebody and they tell me they're a religious Christian, my automatic thought is like, this person's a friend, as opposed to this person doesn't like Jews.
But that's a very political, like that's a political thing, and mainly about Israel.
Not just because of Israel, but also because they, I don't know, maybe I was lucky, but I feel like most of the like religious Christians I've met are always very respectful of Judaism.
Yeah. I mean, except the ones that want to convert us.
Yeah, but, you know,
that is a pet peeve of mine.
But Mormons also want to convert us.
I know. Well, they're Christian. I mean, that's annoying. Like, stop bothering us. Like, we have a religion. We're good. Like, go away.
I mean, I don't know, but it's like somebody tries to sell you something. You don't have to buy it. It's fine.
No, I actually find it annoying. Like, really? People come and knock on my door, and I'm like, you see, we have a mezuzah. You see, that's weird. Jews. Like, go away.
Nobody knocks on your door, and if they do, you shoot them. But they've come to like rob you.
I kind of want to delete the last 15 minutes of this podcast where I mumbled about nothing because I had no idea how to answer that question.
You're like, I don't know how to answer that question, so let me go on a rant. Here are my problems with Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Here's why.
Let me tell you why I don't like Christians. I'm just kidding.
How can anybody say that you don't like Christians when Tom Brady is your hero?
That's true. That's true. I mean, I don't know if he's a religious person, but I'm going to assume he's something. Listen, some of our best friends. This is going to be the part where I say some of our best friends are Christians, and I love them. Okay, I mean, I could talk to Alma and I mean, I'm just going to name drop, but like Daniel and Victoria
exclusively
and Jay,
date
and I mean
non-Jewish men. So
you're an embarrassment.
What does that say about me?
I know,
if not that I love Christians.
Listen, any person, and I say this about any religion, I don't care what religion you are, anybody who's like real and means well and, you know, tries to be authentic and tries to do well for the world, like, good for them. What do I care? Yeah, Jews don't, we're not a religion that cares what religion you are. We care about our own religion.
I just
religion.
Have respect for people who have faith. If they're,
I know,
you know, Jewish or Muslim or Christian, if they use that faith as like a guide to be a good person, try to give back to the world that they came from.
Right.
Then I think it's generally good people. Then people just walk around like cynical and be like, oh, everything sucks. I'm not like bringing children into this world because, you know, it's like the worst time to be alive. I'm like, I feel like religious people have a bit more perspective.
Yeah.
On that.
I mean, poor Caleb, who's awesome? Never going to listen to this podcast again after my
bullshit
answer.
You know who's really dope
answer?
Is Sikhs. Sikhs are really dope. I never met one that I didn't like.
Cool. They have like daggers in their headgear.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
I thought the men wear the turbans and they grow their hair and they have like a, they keep like a dagger in their,
we should get a Sikh on.
Somebody
send us a Sikh. You know what, who I want to get on? I want to get a Saudi on.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
There's a Saudi guy who's like obsessed with Israel, and he's like always, he's like, he FaceTimed with Netanyahu once. I wonder if we can get him on the show.
I want to tell you guys, actually, I feel like so bad about...
Sikhs to Saudis in racist way.
God, you're like the people who blame the Sikhs for 9/11. I mean, that's what you are, basically. Just to go back to that question about the Christians and interfaith stuff, and like, I really respect a lot of people. And I had a guy stay at our house for Shabbat two or three weeks ago. It's the craziest story, but this guy from Israel, a rabbi slash professor, was like reaching out to me, and I was kind of blowing him off and I wasn't really responding. And finally, he like texted me and he's like, I need a place to stay for Shabbat. I'm going to be in Long Beach for a conference. Do you have any ideas? And I was just like, just stay at our house. I don't have any ideas. Like, that's the only idea I have. So he was like, okay. So he came for Shabbat, this guy, and halfway through our meal on Friday night, I turned to my husband and I'm like, I think we have like Elijah the prophet visiting us. Like, he is so holy, this man, and so special and so amazing. And I was so upset at myself that I treated him the way I did, just like by not, like, I should have responded in a second when he texted me and been like, it is my privilege and honor, like, to host you. Like, he's a really important person. And I totally treated
him.
That's
how you should feel when you don't respond to my text.
No, I don't care. No, no, you are not him. But my point, the whole reason I'm telling you the story is because one of the things that he does is he's very much into making peace through religion. And he's like, if religion is the problem, and especially in Israel, like if the conflict is because is a religious conflict, like then religion has to be the solution. And so he has built this whole entire relationship with the, oh my God, I'm going to get this wrong right now. The Hizmets, I think they're called. But they're the Turkish, they're like a Turkish group of Muslims who are opposed to Erdogan. They're very anti-Erdogan in Turkey. And there are like 8 million of them around the world, and he like builds bridges with them and goes to conferences with them, and he's very involved in like trying to create, you know, peaceful solutions between the different faiths.
Turkey used to be so cool before Erdogan. We were so tight.
I know. And so it was fascinating listening to him, and like every word that came out of his mouth, like I wish Caleb could ask him his question, because he this rabbi.
Does he
like,
have a podcast?
Like every word that came out of his mouth was like precious. Like he was always just in pursuit of like peaceful resolution and how to look for the good in others.
Should we
and
have
I'm
him
like
on the podcast?
Exact opposite. Is I'm like, I meet nice people and I'm like, oh, I hate them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That is my default is that I hate you, and you have to move up from there. And it's actually, I think it's a wonderful thing, because think how many people I meet that pleasantly surprise me, because I started out hating
them.
We're
not good people though. Like, good people are not like that. Good people assume the best.
But
we're
at least
like,
we're aware.
Everyone's annoying and horrible, and prove yourself. That's such a bad way to be.
Yeah, but, you know, imagine how boring like this podcast would be if we liked everyone.
I know. It would be like, no, what's your pet peeve about Christians? Nothing. I love Christians so much.
How was
much.
Your interfaith breakfast?
It was amazing. Yeah. I hate racism and I love bacon at an interfaith breakfast. Everything is great. You know, like toxic positivity. I can't handle it. I just
toxic
can't.
Toxic positivity.
I just can't.
Yeah.
Like, I want to punch people in their face when they're like that.
Yeah.
Like the Holocaust. It was not so bad. It was great. No.
Do you know that book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck?
Yeah. I have it in my bathroom.
It's so good. It's so good. But it is
repetitive.
That kind of... but it's taking that kind of positivity, but in ways that you and I could understand, except it has nice words in it. So Hyla's mom, if you're listening, Hyla does not read that book. She put it in the bathroom because it's the least holy place.
Exactly.
She could think of.
My husband grew up in a home where like the only place that you could find non-Jewish reading material was in the bathroom. And the only non-Jewish reading material allowed was Reader's Digest, because that was all like Pariv, you know, like it was already like checked over. So when you go to their house in the bathroom, which by the way, they had, I'm not going to get into it. They had, you know, 15 people in a house with like one bathroom upstairs and a toilet downstairs. Yeah. And by the way, no shower when I first married into the family. So that was a separate issue. They loved their Reader's Digest jokes in the bathroom. Wow.
That was their window to the world.
That was. Can you imagine like knowing about the outside world only from Reader's Digest?
I don't think I ever read Reader's Digest. I just heard about it on like American TV shows. Like I know it's something.
I wonder if it still exists. I haven't seen one. Do you like get any magazines? Are you a magazine person?
I do. I get Cosmo because I don't know how to cancel it.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's been like 10 years and it keeps following me around.
Is that still like 45, what's the word? Like 45 ways to please your boyfriend in the movie theater?
No, now it's like 45 problematic like chewing gums. And like 2 skincare routines for people with, you know, autism.
It was better when it was all about sexual positions. For sure.
But I also get Wired, which I really like, which has also gotten a little woke lately, but still very good reporting.
Yeah.
And I recently got a subscription to Reason magazine because I am not a libertarian, as you know, but I do adore our libertarian friends, specifically Matt Welch and Nick Gillespie, who are both editors. I just started getting Reason, but I got it because they were listed on some list as misinformation, which is funny because you can say so much about these people, but one thing you can't say about them is they lie.
I know.
Like there's also, I feel like they're like very honest and like thorough.
I love Reason
journalists. Yeah. And so I got that as well.
I get Reason magazine. I get The Atlantic. And do I get any other magazines? I refuse to get the Orthodox magazines because they don't allow pictures of women. So I will not subscribe. The big ones. What?
Switch to Cosmo.
Yeah. They're also not allowing women pictures of women more and more.
Yeah. depends what you think a woman is.
I'm joking.
But also I get like anxiety when I have magazines come and I don't have time to read them or something. Yeah. And then I get like, it ends up being something I have to do.
Yeah. But that's what magazines are amazing for Shabbos. That's what I do. Oh, it's so good.
I take them to a coffee shop sometimes or like if I'm eating out by myself, it's good. Like a magazine is really easy to read.
Yeah.
But also, what was I going to say? Magazines are dirt cheap. I don't know what that business model is, but they'll call you from Wired and they'll be like, pay us like $4 and get like 10 years of Wired. Plus we'll send you an iPhone charger or something.
I know. Oh, the New Yorker. I was paying like $12 to get the New Yorker for like years.
Yeah, it's but crazy. I don't know how they're so cheap and they're probably going to go out of business soon.
But they, the thing I was going to say about magazines is they're also really good if you want just to like read a short article about something and it's not, you don't have to look for it. And I love Wired, but
also the Wired stories, the good ones are really long. They can be like 20 pages.
Oh,
but
really?
They're really in depth, like about like cybersecurity, but it's always like a story. So like I read one a few months ago about an IRS, two IRS agents that tracked down like a child pornography ring in Thailand.
Wow.
Through like blockchain stuff. Cause they're experts on blockchain. And which is something I say a lot lately, like I find myself using blockchain in a lot of business stuff. And I can't explain to you what it means.
I have no clue.
But it's like one of those things like, oh yeah, of course. It's on
blockchain. Like when I say crypto and blockchain, I have no clue what I'm talking about. And then I'll throw in like macroeconomics. I'll just throw in the word and pretend that like I know what it means. And then,
but that's the thing about blockchain. It's supposed to be confusing because it's like, hard to decipher. Anyway,
it doesn't exist. It's all online. It's fake. It's real. I have no idea.
I don't know. But
I started listening to the All In podcast.
Do you ever listen
to that?
Yeah, sometimes.
I literally don't understand half of what they're talking about.
Yeah. I feel smart when I listen to it, though.
I know. I feel smart, but also very dumb. So it's like a toss up, but I love them. They're funny and they're like, I learn a lot.
Can we get them on our podcast?
No way. But I don't even want to interview them.
They're friends with like Elon Musk.
What am I going to even talk to them about?
I don't know. They have them varied.
Can you explain interests. What the internet is?
Yeah. It's a series of tubes. I always love, we started this episode and we'll end it too with Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger had a congressional hearing where they had to talk about the Twitter files. But I love when they have these congressional hearings where they bring in like Mark Zuckerberg or Jack Dorsey. Because I'm such a nerd. I listen like in the Twitter ones when Jack Dorsey was still there, I would listen to a whole 3.5 hour thing. But I love it because you get like congressmen were like talking to Mark Zuckerberg and they're like, when I try to use Facebook Messenger, I get this error message.
Oh my God.
They're clearly like, how do I attach a file to this email? Like, I'm not saying everybody needs to be like knowledgeable about social media.
But I just have to say one thing.
Kind of funny.
I do not really understand. Like, I still can't figure out how cameras work. So I'm not like a technology person.
It's magic.
Yeah, I don't really get it. But I could tell you one thing. If anybody has a Mac at home, an iMac, like a desktop Mac, okay, and it has a wireless mouse, if someone can explain to me why they put the charger input on the bottom of the mouse, so you cannot use your mouse while it's charging. It is so stupid. I literally need to meet the person who made that decision and knock them over the head. I just don't get it.
It has to do, I can't, you're not going to understand it, but I'll try to explain to you.
You don't understand it.
It has to do with the blockchain. It's the optic nerve of the blockchain.
You're so right. It's the, if I paid crypto, maybe I would have the mouse with the plug on the other
side. You should
side.
Pay for it in Ethereum and then you'll get a better
Does that
mouse.
Even exist anymore? It's so sad. The Staples Center in LA, right? Like where the Lakers play, went from being the Staples Center to crypto.com center.
Wow.
I know.
And soon it's going to be back to like Barnes and Noble Center. Or like Edible Arrangement Center.
It's going to be that Sears. It's going to be this Sears. Montgomery Ward Center. We're going to have catalogs. Oh my God.
You know what? You know what is sad? I have a very little investments in crypto, but I have.
You do?
A few. Yeah. But like not, you know, just like some change, like I said, that I put aside.
Yeah.
I haven't checked on it in a year, purposely. I just don't check. I don't know if it's all there. It might all be gone. It might be worth like $4.
Oh my God.
I just like, I feel like if I don't check my investments, I can't lose money.
Right.
Right?
I know. I'm like that with a lot of things. Works. Like the weather. I'm like, if I don't look at the weather, it will just be fine. And then I'm like, why the fuck is it raining?
But the
right
weather
now?
Eventually shows up. Yeah. Right. But if I don't, look. Yeah, if I don't, it's like if you can't have COVID if you don't take a COVID test. You
That's
know what I'm
so
saying?
True. Yeah. I mean, we learned that over the last, by the way, it's the 3-year anniversary. We didn't even touch on that. But this week is the 3-year anniversary
of COVID. I thought of like, of us. I'm like, we've been doing this podcast for 3 years.
This episode feels like
right.
It.
March 13th.
Yes.
I remember it's Friday the 13th. Wow.
I know.
I just want to say that overall, COVID has been a net positive for me, for Yael, personally.
I mean, I know. Because you met me, basically.
I met you because I'm a part of the pajama class, as our friend Carol Markowitz calls them.
Yeah.
So I got to work from home.
Yeah,
you know, but all in all, I didn't have to like hang out with people. I met you. I got into like all my podcasting.
Yeah.
You know, I'm over it by now. But
aside from like all the people who were dying, which was sad and scary,
unfortunate. Yeah,
the beginning of COVID was incredible. Like,
I always say, between beginning of COVID up until George Floyd,
yes, amazing was the best. Paradise. Aside from the death, which I'm not. Like dismissing that was sad. But
I was in Central Park. I was feeding birds.
Oh,
I was
so good.
I was wiping down my like Seamless stuff that I got. The only person that I ever like interacted with was the delivery guys.
Yeah, we were. I was in heaven.
I was reading all these astronaut biographies.
Really?
Because I was like astronauts, isolation. You know, I got really into astronauts. I was watching some good TV. I got really into Masters of Sex. Did you ever watch that show?
No, is that good?
It's not as dirty as you think.
Wow.
It's about Johnson Masters, who were the sex therapist.
Oh, yeah.
But it's really, really good. I love, what's his name? He was Sarah Silverman's boyfriend. I want to say Ben Kingsley, but it's definitely not Ben Kingsley. Martin Sheen.
Oh, yeah. Martin Sheen.
No, not Martin Sheen.
I'm like
Michael Sheen. Michael Sheen.
Wait, when was Tiger King? Was that in the beginning?
Yes, I think so. Yes. Oh, Tiger King. Good. Oh, I miss those days.
I know. Those days were amazing.
I was baking. I was making like cupcakes. And
my whole life changed in within 12 hours.
I don't want it to happen again.
No.
Just saying if it did.
Yeah. My kids all came home. We were just us in the house for like weeks on end. Literally, like, I remember at one point I had not gotten in the car for like 3 weeks. And I was like, what the heck? I mean, I was somebody who was running around all day, every day, full time, you know, craziness, people in my house all day. And like, all of a sudden it was just the six of us. And like, my four kids were like on Zoom schools, everyone in a different room. And I like put together a little office for myself. And
so much Jewish privilege here.
Oh, shut up. It was so nice. I mean, we had COVID right at the beginning.
Well, New York also had outdoor dining. That was fun. A little few months
in. Did they have it right away? I don't think so.
I mean, a few months in. Yeah, but maybe. It was fun over the summer. All right. I got to bounce.
Yeah. This was a pretty bad episode.
It was terrible. Definitely do not sign up to askajew.substack.com. Do not email us at askajewpod@gmail.com unless you want Chayla to offend you. Again, Caleb, I apologize. I will follow up with you personally. Like I said, I prefer our Christian listeners to our Jewish listeners just the way I am. It's not anti-Semitic.
I was just not prepared for that question, to be fair.
But maybe you can, you know what you can do? You can email him and tell him.
Maybe we'll have a rabbi come on and answer these
Email him and tell him not to listen to this episode.
We should have a Jew come on to our Ask a Jew pod so that they can answer these questions.
A real Jew. Maybe your father. Ask your father. How about that?
I'll ask my father.
Come back to us next week after you've asked your father.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.